Music and the Muse. Music resembles poetry. In each are nameless graces which no methods teach, and which a master hand alone can reach. Music and the Muse, blending the magic of poetry, read by Janet Logan with Thomas Mancini's violin. Music and the Muse, for those who follow the star of dreams.
Good evening, everyone. This is Janet Logan. Well, let's begin our poetry department with a little smile by Emmett Bruce called The Worm May Turn. The worm may turn, as some say, when facts obstruct their game. But what good will it do, I pray, when both ends are the same? The poem is entitled A Father's Dilemma. He did not know that I was in the woodshed, my young son. He did not know that I could hear him talking to his chum one morning. Told him what I hated him most was listening to little boys who'd stand around and boast. Be what you are, I told him, for the time will come someday when you'll have to answer for the things you do and say. You want me to be proud of you, don't you, when you're a man? Well, then, don't boast that you can do a thing until you can. I won't, he promised solemnly. And now, behind the shed, he argued with the lad next door. And this is what he said. Oh, what you talking about? A lion bigger than the two that we saw fighting Sunday in their cages at the zoo? You mean he chased your daddy down yonder in the wood and your dad couldn't lick him? Huh, I bet you my dad could. Your dad must be an awful coward. Aw, shucks, I bet he is. My dad could lick a half a dozen lions. Well, gee whiz, I bet he could lick them with one hand behind his back. My dad sure packs a wallop. Race you to the house and back. Well, I sat there in the woodshed with my chin upon my hand. And I did a lot of thinking. He deserved my reprimand. 'Twas nothing less than boasting. And yet, why quarrel with the lad? You shouldn't disillusion little folks about their dad. Bluebeard's Chamber by Valerie Brown Thornton. There were bright rooms for rest and work and fun within the house to which his bride was brought. And every door stood open but the one, heavy and silent, which concealed his thought. What secret did that portal hide away? This question froze her heart, obsessed her brain. A life enchantress, luscious-lipped and gay? Or love's long dead and cold as winter rain? The room holds nothing but his need of her. And inarticulate he broods inside behind a rusted lock which will not stir. A door he could not open if he tried. But these are things which she has never known. For long ago, she closed and locked her own. A 100 years ago, they liked their poetry with moral attached. such as this famous one by Leigh Hunt, who also wrote the delightful little poem, Jenny Kissed Me. King Francis was a hearty king and loved a royal sport. And one day, as his lions fought, sat looking on the court. The nobles filled the benches and the ladies in their pride, and amongst them sat the Count de Lorge, with one for whom he sighed. And truly was a gallant thing to see the crowning show, valor and love, and a king above and the royal beasts below. Romped and roared the lions with horrid laughing jaws. They bit, they glared, gave blows like beams, a wind went through their paws. With wallowing might and stifled roar, they rolled on one another, till all the pit with sand and mane was in a thunderous smother. The bloody foam above the bars came whisking through the air. Said Francis then, "Faith, gentlemen, we're better here than there." De Lorge love o'erheard the king, a beauteous, lively dame, with smiling lips and sharp, bright eyes, which always seemed the same. She thought, "The Count, my lover, is as brave can be. He surely would do wondrous things to show his love for me. King, ladies, lovers, all look on. The occasion is divine. I'll drop my glove to prove his love. Great glory will be mine." She dropped her glove to prove his love, then looked at him and smiled. He bowed, and in a moment leaped among the lions wild. His leap was quick, return was quick. He had regained his place. Then threw the glove, but not with love, right in the lady's face. "By heaven," said Francis, "rightly done." And he rose from where he sat. "No love," quoth he, "but vanity sets love a task like that." Crown of kingliness, in symbol truth, is a most gracious, rare adorning. Men of kingly souls are privileged in youth to follow in some great man's footsteps. When they then attain to man's estate, they don their kingly robes and crown with regal air and grace. A naturalness marks every son of royal fathers who this purple wear. Not many men are born to reign as kings, as monarchs over actual earthly thrones. But to all men is given this power to choose. They can be rulers over self. Their wings of spirit can mark out far vaster zones than earth has measured or the heart could lose. Be that he who made this wondrous world for our delight designed that all its charms should fade and pass forever from our sight, that all shall wither and decay and know on earth no life but this, with only one finite survey for all its beauty and its bliss. It cannot be that all the years of toil and care and grief we live
shall find no recompense but tears. No sweet return that earth can give. That all that leads us to aspire and struggle onward to achieve, and every unattained desire were given only to deceive. It cannot be that after all the mighty conquests of the mind, our thought shall pass beyond recall and leave no record here behind. That all our dreams of love and fame and hopes that time has swept away, all that enthrall this mortal frame, shall not return some other day. It cannot be that all the ties of kindred souls and loving hearts are broken when this body dies and the immortal mind departs. That no serener light shall break at last upon our mortal eyes to guide us as our footsteps make the pilgrimage to paradise.
It was the famous author of The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, Samuel Coleridge, who wrote, "Good sense is the body of poetic genius, fancy its drapery, motion its life, and imagination the soul." This is Janet Logan saying goodbye until next week.
Strains of melody fade away to join with other pleasant memories. Again, Music and the Muse is ended. Featured with Thomas Mancini, violinist, were William Sobranski, organist, Ray Kramer, cellist, Catherine Julier, harpist. Poems read by Miss Janet Logan were The Worm May Turn by Emmett Bruce, A Father's Dilemma by E. Pearl Dancy, Bluebird's Chamber by Valerie Brown Thornton, The Glove and the Lions by Lee Hunt, Crown for His Choosing by Stella Terralzen, and It Cannot Be by David Banks Sickles. Musical numbers included It's a Big, Wide, Wonderful World by Jay Rocks, By the Bend of the River, Edwards, Prelude, Rachmaninoff, Varum, Schumann, Autumn and Winter, Glazunov, and Andante Religioso by Tome. Music and the Muse was edited by John Kraft and directed by Clinton Stanley. This program came to you from Hollywood's Radio City. John Storm speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.